kind of a big mystical thing. It's something that's very practical that prayer is. And I want us to start with this Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Somebody say that with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Tell the person next to you, if God is for you, who can be against you? Come on. Now, look at this. This is the proof. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He's already paid for everything. Jesus Christ is the down payment of all the blessings of God. It's incredible. This is the proof that God is for us. And Jesus is the only one in the universe and all of forever, especially on this planet, that has given himself entirely for you. Nobody else. No other religion. There's not a one. You can worship idols. You can have a false god. And many do. It's kind of interesting how every time there was a work of revival, renewing and bringing back the people of God in the Old Testament, every single time it was tear down the idols, rebuild the temple or rebuild the altar, and begin giving the morning and evening sacrifices, and then in honoring the feast days, and beginning to get back in the cycle of putting God first. It's amazing. We want to always put God and keep him first, and this is part of that whole flow of thought that we want to talk about that. A few years ago, I was reading this study done, and it was really interesting. I was like really intrigued that they did a study on prayer with a hospital. And as they were, what they did is they divided the hospital in two, and they had all the patients on this side, and they had all their names and stuff, and there was a prayer team, and they were praying for the people on this side of the hospital, and nobody on that side of the hospital was prayed for. And so the study revealed that the people who were being prayed for got better, faster, and left the hospital quicker because they were being prayed for than the people on the other side. And I was like amazed at this study, and I talked to a friend of mine who was a hospital chaplain, and I said, have you seen this? This study? And he busted out laughing. He says, yeah, that's the reason I have a job. Prayed for people. Just go ahead and say it. Prayed for people get along much better than non-prayed for people. Let's say it again. Prayed for people get along much better than non-prayed for people. Isn't that true? So I want to just point out some scriptures just to whet our appetite, what the Word of God says about our prayer. Psalm 6:9 says, the Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. Psalm 102, verse 17, he regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. If you're down and you're not doing well, God delights in you. He embraces the prayer when you're down on in life. Psalm 141, verse 2, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now we're getting into more of that lifestyle of praise and worship and prayer to the Lord. Psalm 42, verse 8, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. This is where you're saying my life is a prayer. Mark 11, 17, I have this scripture and then we'll get to our first point. And he was teaching them, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. And there's many things that you could make the house of God. You can make it all kinds of this. They happen to make it a den of thieves, but people can make it a place of entertainment. People can make it a place of just dead religion. People can make it anything. But Jesus said, is it not written that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? Go ahead and elbow somebody. Jesus, it's all about prayer to Jesus. See, the reason we meet here, the reason we actually pray on Sunday morning is because it's a house of prayer. The reason that we have intercession nights, the reason that we had the police and the sheriff's department, is that because we believe this is a house of prayer. It was a really powerful time, and the Holy Spirit's presence was so prevalent in the room. And then you know how that is when God's in the room, people, when you finish the meeting, people hang out. They don't want to leave because they know that this glorious loving goodness and kindness and unconditional love of God that touches the depths of a person's soul as they open to that, that there's something of an impartation that God says, I'm for you, I'm not against you. I am for you, I'm not against you. I want good things to happen in your life. Listen, if you're thinking that God's the one that did the wrong stuff to you, Jesus explained this in a whole other passage I'm not going to talk about today, but he basically said, there is another Father. He's the Father of all lies. And before you come to Jesus, he's your dad. And he's bent to destroy you. And all the bad things that ever happened are from him. And because when it comes to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in him is no darkness at all, no shadow of turning. There's no capacity for bad in him. So he's the good one. And it's the clutter and confusion over that that holds people in bondage to, well, if God was good, why'd he do it? And they can't stay in this place of complaint and pointing out, look, a bad God doesn't send his only son to die for all of your sins and to carry all the burdens of all the failure and losses and everything that's gone wrong in your life. A bad God doesn't lay down his life for you to make it better for you. Let's say it again. He's for you. He's not against you. So we have this encouragement from the Lord. Let's go ahead and look at our point number one. And this is going to go by really quick. This is not really a long message. And you could tell the person next to you, well, we'll see. We'll see. But it really isn't. It's really kind of short, but we'll see. Well, just listen. Let's invite the Lord to meet the needs in the room. Amen? That's what I'm about. It's not like a bunch of information and stuff. It's about God touching us where we need to be touched. Number one is pray God's word. This is one of the three of our key things that we want to really focus on. Because even though you can just cry out, as I told the detectives, as I told the law enforcement officers, I said, it doesn't matter today if you even believe in God or believe in prayer. It's not that, it doesn't matter if whatever you, we believe in God and we believe in prayer and our prayers count and we love you and we're praying for you. Now I said, I want you to know that if you're in a life-threatening situation, it would be good that if you did shoot up a flare prayer to God. A prayer that says, help me, Lord. And that prayer releases God's capacity to divert a bullet, to protect your life. So I recommend that you learn the flare prayer. Before you pull the trigger of prayer and ask for God's help and grace. Amen? So praying God's word. Now, this scripture, John 15:7, says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. And this could just go, this is one of those scriptures that goes all day long. You could just go and go and go and go. What this really is a call to is to have a life with the Lord where you're abiding in him and where the word of God is not tucked away on some shelf somewhere. Where you actually open it up. Because as we said a minute ago, writing the promises on the floor in the sanctuary and then covering it with carpet, when people come in, they're standing on the promises. That's one aspect of the presence and life of God. Unseen power. But it's really wonderful when you say, I'm going to pray God's word and base my praying on the promises of God's word. All the effective prayers of the Old Testament and the New Testament are based on the prayer. Just say the word covenant right quick. Covenant. There's an agreement that God says, I'm going to be everything that you ever need me to be. Just don't get anything in the way of us. That's the essence of the covenant. I'm going to be everything that you ever need me to be and everything you'll ever need. And I'm for you and I'm going to take care of you. Now, just don't let anything get in the way. That's it. Don't let anything get in the way. Let's go to the next one. I'm excited about what I have next. Let's go to the next scripture. It says 2 Corinthians 1:2 says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. The next verse, Mark 4:17 says, tribulation and persecution arise on account of the word. Now, you know, why are you throwing that at me, Pastor? It's because, you know, I want you to know that if you're beginning your life in Christ and you're kind of new at it and God gives you a scripture and you begin to pray a promise, say for some kind of increase in your life or healing or no matter what it is, this is how it works. You'll be praying that and be full of the life of that on day one. On day two, you'll grow up and you'll wake up in the morning and you'll wonder, what happened to all the faith I had in that promise yesterday? Right? And the next day, you're wondering, what happened to my belief in the healing that God had for me? Because there's a persecution and there's tribulation that arises on account of the word. There's the adversary wants to come and steal that. And when you're young in the faith and you don't realize this, there's a confrontation that happens, and there's hell is trying to seek to steal that. Steal, kill, destroy, take away your hope for what you have belief in, right? Everybody there with me? Have you experienced this before? Where you're going, wow, this is so good. Now, here's the deal. You've got to lay hold of it. It's got to abide in you. You've got to, and that's why sometimes even fasting kicks in. Even if you fast a little bit, just skip a little bit. The whole idea behind fasting and prayer is that belief is locked onto. We'll get more to that in a minute. But I thought it would be fun just to talk about the Lord's Prayer for a minute, because that's praying the Word. The Lord's Prayer is praying the Word of God. And Jesus said, if you want to learn how to pray, here's a model for your prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's the holy, you know, holy, 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 hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, forgive the debts of others, or trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I paraphrased it. Let's go ahead and put that up. My paraphrase goes like this. Father God, you are so incredibly holy beyond description. Please move into my heart and life and live here just like you live in heaven. Every day, please meet my needs both physically and spiritually, because you are the bread and the provider of bread in every way. I choose to be a forgiving person and forgive others just like you have forgiven me. Help me stay out of trouble, especially the kind that attracts me secretly where I am vulnerable, and give me an exit from the things that are destroying me. I want you first in my life. You alone have the power to do this, so I forever give you all the glory for helping me be completely yours. Let somebody praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. So, Father God, you're so incredibly holy beyond description. Please move into my heart and life and live here just like you live in heaven. Every day, please meet my needs both physically and spiritually, because you are the bread and provider of bread in every way. I choose to be a forgiving person and forgive others just like you have forgiven me. Help me stay out of trouble, especially from the kind that attracts me secretly from where I'm vulnerable, and give me an exit from the things that are destroying me. I want you first in my life. You alone have the power to do this, so I forever give you all the glory for helping me be completely yours. Amen. And I just wanted to pop this one in here just for fun. Every now and again, you'll read, if you read through the Old Testament stuff, you'll find that these kings of these other nations come in with great threat. They come in, and usually what happens is the nation of Israel or Judah, you know, they're divided into two kingdoms after Solomon, and the kings are doing wrong. They're worshiping false gods. Everything's gone wrong. And you'll have every now and again, at least in Judah, you'll have a king pop up that begins to return to the ways of the Lord. And they'll have some kind of a massive army come against them. Hezekiah had this happen to him. He had Sennacherib, this king of the Syrians, come against him with just so many people. It was overwhelming. And they kept coming with threats. They kept coming with threats, saying, we're going to wipe you out. Have you ever had any kind of threat come to your heart and mind and feel like all hope is gone? Have you had that? A fear, just almost irrational. Sometimes it's very real. A certain payment is due and you don't have the money. And you feel like you're going to lose something. Heather and I went through some of those financially challenging times ourselves. It depends. Sometimes it's something that you've done. Sometimes it's not anything you've done. It's just a circumstance that arises. And suddenly you're just like, I can't do this. And you and I have this propensity to look to ourselves and not to the Lord, don't we? And so here's what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah took the paper of the threat, and he went into the house of the Lord, and he put the paper all around on the floor. He's doing this. And he said, it says, having received the letter from the hand of the messengers, this is 2 Kings, this is not up on the overhead. 2 Kings 19, 14 through 19. He took the letter from the hand of the messengers, read it. Then, and sometimes when you read stuff like this, it hits you. Have you ever had some news hit you? It hits your spirit and you become anxious? So that's a warfare. Suddenly there's an anxiety because now you feel like it's bigger than you. And you don't know what to do about it. And most of the people that I meet, their circumstance is really bad. It's really, really big. It's really big. And they can be believers, and God is really, really little. And the job here is to switch those two. It's to get God really, really big, and the circumstance really, really little. Do you realize that circumstances can get really, really big, really, really fast? Especially if you go, it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad, and you start speaking it. How many of you know, the more you talk it, the more anxious you get? And then you start to speak the truth. You say, I trust in you, Lord, and you feel like a fake. Because your emotions are over here with the really, really bad, and now you're telling the Lord you trust him, and your soul is going, no, you don't. You don't feel like you are, but you speak it anyway. Because you have a God with a covenant with you that says, I'm for you, not against you. And if I gave my son and I didn't spare him, how much more will I give you all things? And if you do not pray the word of God, you'll feel like you don't have much to offer. So you got to come with that. The whole reason to put the word of God up there, the Lord's Prayer, and I'll get right back to this in a second. The whole reason for that is this. What were the priorities of the word of the word of God in the prayer, in the Lord's Prayer? What were the priorities? Take care of me daily. Daily take care of me. Help me to be a forgiving person. Help me not to fall into traps. Help get me out. In other words, it's keeping us right, right? Lord, move into my life with your kingdom power and glory. Flood my life. Everybody say daily. The Lord's Prayer is a daily prayer. The pattern of that prayer. How many of you need to just be told, enjoy your relationship with God. He's not against you. Because right on the tomorrow morning you'll get up. I've had this happen on Monday mornings as being a pastor. You get up in there and it's like, yeah, that was great yesterday, but boom, something comes. Hello? Am I the only one? Say, pray the word. Tell us, pray the word. Why? There's life in the word. And there's a prayer pattern. There's a way to be in the word of God. I won't get into that right now. But there's a way to be in the word of God and write down things and meditate. And then next thing you know, it kicks in and you're praying and you're eating from the word. You're growing in it. You're beginning to grow and you're having that encounter every day. And that's really important. That's another message though. So here he is. Let me just read the prayer that Hezekiah prayed back on that. This is what he prayed. O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. And the Lord said, okay, somebody got it right. And you know what he did? He sent one angel and went out to the Assyrians' camp and had 180,000 people, and one angel destroyed them all. And the next day they went out there and all these, and they had all the spoils. Wow. We need to read the great victories that the Lord has poured into the heart of his people so we can go back and say, if he was for them, he's for me. All right, amen? Okay, let's go to number two. Pray in faith. Pray in faith. Romans 10:17. Now, the reason we're talking about praying God's word is because it releases praying in faith. And if you prayed the word on Monday and your faith is low on Tuesday, go back to the word that you prayed on Monday. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So keep in the word. Go ahead and tell somebody next to you, I'm going to do this. Okay. Now, Mark 11:23, Jesus is instructing us. It says, I said to you, whoever says this mountain be taken up and be thrown into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for you. And the next slide says, therefore I tell you, Jesus is saying, therefore I tell you, that whatever you ask in prayer, this amazing line, this is staying in faith. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. How many of you have been praying about something and you don't really have it yet in your heart, and then you're just praying over it and praying over it, and then suddenly there comes a moment where you know that you have it? This is the dynamic of receiving something before you get it. You're praying about something. There are people we've been praying for, and suddenly we know. I've been praying for the carpet, and suddenly I just pray all the needs be met, all the needs be met. And suddenly, I don't know how, but I know that the need will be met. There's things that, there are people's lives that change because you're lifting them up, you're lifting them up. When you started off, it will look really like a disaster and despairing, right? It doesn't look like it's going to work out. But you continue in prayer, which we're going to talk about next. You continue in faith, and next thing you know, you know. You know, you believe that you already have received. It's already done. It's done. It's done. It's done. And there's where the power of prayer begins to work. Now, I have this next three verses out of Isaiah, and I want to talk to you about this staying in faith. This is in Isaiah 11 through 13, 8, verse 11 through 13. Because you and I are living in some tumultuous times and all kinds of bad news, and all the different nations are going through things, and we read about the Bible about wars and rumors of wars and all this going on. And this is a word for us today, I believe. For the Lord spoke to thus to me, and I like the way he says this. Everybody say, with a strong hand. With a strong hand upon me. In other words, the Lord said, I want you to hear this. I don't think I've ever seen where the Lord speaks to you with a strong hand. So this is something important. And warned me not to walk. He says, he spoke thus to me with a strong hand and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. How many bad news things pop up every day? How many Facebook posts, another conspiracy, another thing to dread, another thing to fill up your mind with, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh, conspiracy, oh, conspiracy, Next slide. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. If you want to fear something, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Don't fear the conspiracy. Don't dread that threat. Dread the Lord. That just jumps in your craw, doesn't it? See, if you fear the Lord, you're not going to fear the conspiracy. You're not going to fear the threat. You'll turn the fear of the conspiracy into a prayer. Lord, I thank you that you're above the nations. And I bring your name to bear in this situation. I'm going to call the men in the congregation to rise up and become men of prayer. And don't say, well, that's not really, don't do that. Don't, well, you know, that's maybe my wife's a better prayer. Don't you do that. Don't say, I'm not the guy that can do it. Fear the Lord. Rise up. Take your stand. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Rise up, men. You receive it? Do you receive it? Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about it. Do you receive it? Next, fill in the blank, pray through being diligent. Pray through being diligent. Pray through. Pray the word, pray in faith, pray through. This is the essence of prayer power. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. By the way, guys, let me just say this. The only reason that I rise up to challenge you in prayer is because the Lord rose up to challenge me. With all that swirling and going on in our lives, with all the distractions, with everything that's going on that diverts your attention away from the living God, today is the day that says, I'm going to be a guy that rises up and walks with the living God in these days. I will be a voice because I'll be listening to His voice. I'll be responding to Him. I'm going to pray through things. Now, there's one other verse here, and it's the verse that's in the Luke. I think, I don't know if it's up here, but it's on your notes. He told them with a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And he talks about this widow that goes before an unjust judge. He's not talking about the widow going before God. He's talking about a widow that goes before an unjust judge. Everybody say justice. She wants justice. What is justice? It's moral rightness. Something's gone wrong, and it's morally not right. And she gets up and literally harasses this judge by coming back over and over and over and over and over and over. And Jesus is pointing at this lady who's being morally, things aren't right. Somebody's harassing her. Something's not right. And she comes to a guy and goes, just to get her out of my hair, I'm going to send an edict and send the cops down to the guy next to her house or whatever it is, and we're going to deal with this. And this unjust thing will be made right. He says, how much more will the just judge who hears your cries day and night? And these are the times we need to cry out and say, Lord, pour out your spirit on our nation. Pour out a great, powerful revival of your river of conviction. Pour out. Meet needs. You know, I just said that. You know, there's coming, and people have prophesied this, but there's coming a day where it's not the guy up front where the healing power flows from. It's the guy that you wouldn't think about, and somebody touching somebody and they're completely healed physically. The miracle potential is going to be released for those who turn to the Lord in this day. Would you guys just do this with me? Just lift your heads. You can close your eyes if you want. Just lift your heads. Spirit of God, I pray that you would fall fresh in this place. A couple of weeks ago, Lord, you said you were releasing a new anointing of prayer. And of course, our adversary wants to come and say no. But we say yes. We will receive the encouragement from your Spirit. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, all around us there are people who are wayward and their lives aren't going right. They're shipwrecked. They just toughen it out. They don't have things going well for them. We lift them up before you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, your heart is near to the brokenhearted. That's the word we pray. Now make manifest your love to them. Lord, in the room right here, whoever is just living substandard in their own soul, I pray that you would put that deposit of who you are that gives them that ability to believe beyond where they are right now. Lift them up out of the miry clay. Lift them up because you can do all things. Lift them up. Lord, cause each of us to be strengthened day by day. Let us praise the Lord together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and stand together. Would you just touch somebody's shoulder and say, Lord, lift up my brother and my sister. Pour your refreshing glory as you've done today, but continue, Lord, impart this Jesus' hunger for us to be in relationship for Him. Impart that. Impart. Awaken our spirit to a new day of walking with you in the midst of this culture that's broken down, I pray for each person to be lifted up in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. Let's love on each other, church.